privileged to be members of the Defense Business Board, which is an outside independent body that tries to help the Department of Defense adopt world-class business practices that are applicable to government. So the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Sandy Winnefield, asked the Business Board to take a look at acquisition reform. And it's a subject that's been looked at since the Packard Commission recommendations of 1986. There have been over 300 previous studies. So we scrapped it on knowing that a lot of recommendations had gone straight to the dustbin of history. And we spent over a year. We looked at the 300 previous studies. We interviewed over 221 people from Secretary of Defense's down to people working in the trenches, and then made our recommendations to the Department of Defense after that very thorough and very comprehensive review.
Eight of them in total, three of them you write in this column on federalnewsradio.com concern the acquisition workforce. You write that the skills of the workforce as a whole have atrophied. Is that a problem with the workforce itself? Is that a problem with DOD's management of the workforce, or some combination of both, or other issues?
I would say it's mainly the management of the workforce. It's not the people. The people are key in any endeavor. Good people, and the people in the Department of Defense in the acquisition workforce, and there's over 154,000 of them, both the military and the civilians, are far superior to the processes that we give them to work in. The three very bureaucratic, very layered, highly regulated, paperwork-laden acquisition process, requirements process, and budget process. So the people are far superior to those processes, and they come to work every day trying to do the right thing. But the processes are designed to avoid mistakes, not deliver results. So what we've got to do is streamline the processes. Those were part of our recommendations. Link them, streamline them, reduce regulation, reduce paperwork and bureaucracy. And then, but most importantly, we've got to give these great military and civilian people the right training, the right education, the right billets and experiences. You can't learn how to manage a complex technical program just by being in the government workforce. You've got to basically have the kind of training that we give people that aspire to be battalion commanders and battle group commanders. We move them around. We put them in line jobs. We put them in staff jobs. People in the acquisition workforce are going to have to go out in the private sector and work in industry for a couple of years and learn, you know, some hands-on things. So it's mostly management and training. The people are fine.
I spoke to the new OFPP administrator, Joe Jordan, today, and you can hear that interview at federalnewsradio.com as part of this series, Inside the World's Biggest Buyer. One of the things that I asked him about was the idea of poaching, which kind of meshes with what you're talking about. And he framed it in a similar way. It's not a bad thing for acquisition professionals to move from agency to agency. For a long time, the perception in government has been that it's a good idea to stay in one place. You gain experience as to how that particular bureaucracy operates, and it sounds like your opinion and his opinion are similar. Why is that a good thing for there to be a level of churn in the acquisition workforce?
Well, frankly, if you look at our battlefield commanders and you look at our general officers that run corps level, you look at the combatant commanders, you look at a division commander, a battalion commander, a regimental commander, a brigade commander, we have moved them around significantly in their careers. They go to staff jobs, they go to line jobs, they go to intermediate school, they go to advanced school, they go train on the combined arms ranges. We move them around every 3 years. We don't do that with the acquisition workforce. These poor people get kind of stuck in one place, and they don't get the broad experiences that they need. In running a complex technical acquisition program, you know, a $30, $40, $50 billion program is just as challenging as being a brigade commander in combat. And so we know how to do this. And then, and so learning, for example, the GSA, the government-wide schedules, GSA has the largest schedule. Why wouldn't we want to send some of our defense acquisition workforce over to GSA to help them out a little bit and vice versa? So the broadening of experiences in the different billets makes people better at the jobs that they do. You know, keep them digging in the same hole will get us the same result we've got now. We're in DOD acquisition. We spend more, take longer, and get less, and not necessarily what we need.
Arnold Panaro is a member of the Defense Business Board and CEO of the Panaro Group, talking about the acquisition workforce at the Pentagon. One of the things that you write, General, in this column on federalnewsradio.com is the Department of Defense lacks sufficient systems engineering capability that's necessary for inherently governmental functions, necessary for timely decisions and trade-off relative to technical feasibility and cost. What I hear between the lines, though, and I don't think you intended it to be there, is this is going to require a lot of capital investment at a time the Pentagon doesn't want to spend any money they don't absolutely have to.
Actually, I don't agree with that. I mean, it's a question of education. I mean, we send our young military officers off to get advanced system engineering degrees at Stanford, MIT, and then they don't go into billets. They do that. We can send our civilians. So this is really education. And then once you get these advanced degrees, and by the way, you don't necessarily have to get them when you first join government. Look at General Dave Petraeus. He got his PhD from Princeton when he was well into his Army career. So we need to start letting the acquisition workforce shine, just like we let the combat workforce in our military shine. And it's education, and it's managing their careers, and it's giving them the opportunity to get different varied experiences, not just keep them stuck in the same rut that they're in now.
How much of this then, General, is cultural, where somebody or some group of people inside the Pentagon have to say, this is not how we're going to view this particular group of people anymore. We're going to view them and treat them in a different way than we have in the past?
Well, I think the good news is we have leaders at the top of our military and leaders, civilian leaders, Ash Carter, the deputy, Frank Kendall, the head of acquisition, technology, and logistics, that under the law, he's supposed to ensure that we train our people properly. They get it, and I think they're willing to make some of the changes. I hope they are, and I'm encouraged that they are, along with our military leaders, putting them back in charge of the military acquisition workforce so they can manage the acquisition career the same way they manage the operational combat career. So I think it's leadership, and I'm encouraged that we have the right people to sort of make some of these changes in place right now.